Happy New Year. I haven't seen most of you all since last year, wasn't up enough to do it anyway at the end of the year. I hope that the kind of bugs that have been harassing some of us go away quickly and that you all are okay and your families are doing all right. We have a special treat today. You're not going to hear me speak. Now, the special treat is that Mike Kakis will bring our lesson today. Mike is taking off next Saturday. Is that right? That's what kind of I meant, this coming Saturday. So this is his last Sunday with us as he goes back to Texas, go back to Sunset, to go back to AIM for the mission semester of his training down there. And then he goes on to, I'll let him fill in that blank. Many of you know. But I want him to introduce it to us. So let's pray for him and for his work and for all those out there preaching the gospel. Precious Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you that you have seen fit to give us such a message and such a Lord that sparks in us excitement, drive, desire to teach and show people how magnificent your gift is. That your generosity, your love, your overflowing of mercy and kindness toward us is so wonderful that we can't help but talk about it. Father, help us to keep the darkness of this world and the doubt and the mundane out of our way, that we can continually show the beauty of the light of your gospel, the truth of your word, the joy found in Christ. I thank you for Mike. And for all young hearts like his that have that spark and that excitement, I pray that you'll bless him and his classes, you'll bless him and his team and their field, that you'll take care of all of our workers here in the valley and many miles away. We pray for Lauren and Penny. We pray for Ben and Danny and their work, and pray that we as a home congregation can be the kind of stable, encouraging, hardworking and generous base that can launch many, many, many good teachers out from here. Be with Mike in his lesson that your word can be preached. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mike?
Good morning. Thanks, Robert, and thanks, Nestor, for reading that for me. If any of you don't know what AIM is, I have been given the privilege and opportunity to speak to you today, to give the lesson, and also to give you a little short summary or information about AIM and where I'm going, what I'm going to be doing there. If you don't know what AIM is, it stands for Adventures and Missions. And what it is, it's a 2.5-year-long missionary apprenticeship program. And the way it works is the first 8 months of this 2.5 years, college-age people from all over the world go to Lubbock, Texas, to take intensive Bible classes and studying the Bible for about 8 months. And the first 5 months of that 8 months, the students are selected and assembled into teams. And then those teams at the end of those 8 months are sent off to usually foreign countries to work under an established missionary that's already there and just help him and just try to bring as many people to Christ as possible. And right now, and currently in this congregation, if you don't know, there's three members of this church actively currently in AIM. There's Ben Baker, who's in Mexico, Danny Cato, who's in Australia, and then myself, who just finished up that first five-month section of it. And I just figured out where I was going just a couple weeks ago and who my teammates are, and I'm going to be working as a team of eight. There's two other guys and five girls, and we're going to be working in Port Elizabeth in South Africa. And what we're going to be doing there is we're going to be teaching in the public schools a whole bunch. Christianity is allowed to be taught in the public schools, so we're just going to be working with the children there quite a bit. And also with the colleges, trying to get the college-age people and the students involved with the church as much as we can. And then working inside the church and with the church is helping it grow as much as possible. And then along with quite a few other services and as many works as we can get done, just getting in the people's lives and just trying to just show them how much God really loves them. The main thing, though, I wanted to talk to everyone about AIM, it's just the effect it has on people and how much it really influences them. And I've been having such a hard time trying to come up how I was going to express it, because it's crazy how much it changes and builds you up. And just everyone that gets involved there, how much it refocuses you almost. And the best way I could come up to explain AIM is to tell you about one of my friends in AIM. He's one of my classmates. And his name's Diego, and he's from Brazil. And to give you a little bit of background on Diego, before Diego came to AIM, he wanted to be a doctor. And the way the universities work in Brazil is they're free, first of all. You don't have to pay to go there. But to get into them, you have to pass this really difficult exam. And only 200 people out of the entire country of Brazil get accepted into this university. And Diego, he studied for a year and a half, 8 hours a day, every day almost, to pass this test. And he finally did it. He finally got accepted. And then what his plan was, he was going to come to AIM for that first five-month section and then just get a whole bunch of biblical knowledge, study the Bible a whole bunch, and then go back and pursue his medical career. Well, about a month and a half ago, Diego decided to give up going back to Brazil, to stay in AIM, so he could get to the mission field and just help save as many people as he can and bring them to Christ. And he sacrificed going back to Brazil to pursue something he wanted, so he put so much time into, just to dedicate his life more to God, as much as he could. And that's the type of qualities and characteristics that come out working in AIM. And I can't describe that. I'm trying to come up with words to explain it, but it really is. It leaves me speechless, and it's undescribable. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, though, of that type of actions that are taken. Diego's just one person out of my class, and there's almost 60 of us. And those are just people in this one class, and there's a new class every year. And I just wanted to share how much it really affects people, again. And again, that's just one person. But the main thing is it's bringing us closer to God, and we're bringing other people closer to God. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning, was just prayer and our relationship with God. And to start out with just prayer, I thought about what's prayer, like basically. What's prayer, like 101? And prayer basically is just communication. You know, we're talking to God. And I wanted to just look kind of about who we're actually talking to, though. If you want to turn over to Psalms, verses 8 through 4. Psalms 8, 3 through and 4. It says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" So just maybe kind of realize who we're kind of talking to. We're not just talking to God. We're talking to this being who created the entire universe, every star and planet and moon and nebula and galaxy, everything out there, and this earth too, he created. And we get to be able to talk to him. And then the second part of that verse, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" So it's even more beautiful and amazing that we're able to talk to him, is that he's willing to listen, and that he's caring what this little blob of flesh on this one little planet of this whole universe is feeling. That's how much this God cares. And it just amazed me just how much we almost take that for granted sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. 1 Thessalonians before 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, 16 and 18. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It says right there at the end that it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you to pray without ceasing, to rejoice always, to give thanks in all circumstances. And that's why it brings me kind of to the next point. That's more than just talking to God. It's His will for us to talk to God. He wants us to talk to Him. And so it's more than just talking, it's a relationship. And it's not a casual relationship. It's deep. It's intimate. There's depth to this relationship. And it's not something that's just, it's not ordinary. There's nothing else like it. And I want to read Philippians 4:6. It's one of my favorite verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I want to pause it right there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In everything that we do. In the last verse it said, in all circumstances. And this time it says, pray about everything. And that's how active we are supposed to be with God personally. We're supposed to pray all the time. We're supposed to be constantly in tune with God as much as we can. And it reminded me, when I was thinking about this, about one of my instructors, teachers in AIM. His name's Pat. He's really cool. And Pat asked the whole class something one day, and it hit home for me so much, and it made me think about it so long, and I don't think I'm ever going to forget it. He asked us all, are we walking with God or just by God? And I just had to keep running that over in my head, trying to comprehend it. Are we walking with God, or are we walking by God? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized how I've been most of my life just walking by God. I think so many Christians sometimes fall into the same thing, where we come to church almost just to like fill a pew or to keep a seat warm. Or we know what's right, and we do what's right, but it's almost like we're doing it out of obligation and not will, and not serving God willingly, but just serving Him because we know it's the right and the wrong, so we're just going to do the right. And that's we need to serve God willingly and lovingly, not just to get out of going to hell, not just so we can go to heaven, but so we can... we can love God and serve Him as much as we can. And the next part of that verse, I paused it, keeping it going. It says, let your requests be made known to God. And I love this part of the verse, because it says your requests be made known to God. Not just your needs or the things that are absolutely necessary, but your requests, things that you want or desire, just, you know, normal, casual things. But your requests. So, yeah, again, not just to pray the things that are essential for you to survive, but just, you know, things you want, requests. And I think the amazing thing about this is that when you're praying, you're able, and lifting up a request, you're kind of like taking a spiritual look in the mirror almost. You pray about certain things are going, pray from your heart, and you're able to listen to what you're saying, kind of see what you're praying to God, and what it does, it refines you, because you're able to see where your heart is. And I catch myself so many times praying for things that only affect me or help out me the most, and I'm just selfish. I'll be praying for anything almost, and I'll realize, you know, I don't really need that, or the time I'm going to be spending to get this done, I could be doing something else to help so many other people. And that's why I think it's great to be able to pray and just lift up your requests. And again, the requests that refine your relationship with God. I think it's important that we try to keep doing that. Because the more refined we get, the closer relationship we're going to have with God. I think we need to be trying to strive to get as close to God as we can. Next thing I wanted to talk about was I wanted to come up with an example of a really close relationship that a lot of people have, or the closest relationship we can have on earth. And the first thing that came to mind, I think is right, is marriage. I'm not married, but I assume marriage is supposed to be the closest, tightest relationship we can have on earth, anyways, with another person. And it made me kind of think, how strong would a marriage be, or your marriage if you're married, how strong would that marriage be if you only talk to your husband or wife a couple minutes before you had a meal? Or a couple minutes before you went to bed? Or whenever there was a huge crisis came up, you talked to your husband or wife. How strong would that marriage be? Again, I'm not married, but I would assume that marriage would not be very good. In fact, I think it would be a terrible marriage. And then that's just our earthly relationship with our husband or wife. What about the most important relationship that we can have? God. Because people, we're the church. And we're also called the bride of Christ. We're supposed to have this intimate, deep relationship with God. And I think that so many times, people just don't. They don't have that. So I want everyone to just kind of think about themselves right now. Where are you? How are you in your relationship with God? Are you just talking to God a little bit before you eat? Just a little bit before you go to bed? Because I was. I still am sometimes. And I need to work on it a lot. Because God's the only relationship that's really going to last forever. It's the only one that's going to get us to heaven. And it's the only one that's going to be able to let us bring other people to heaven and get them to God. That's how important it is. And the closer we get to God, the better we're going to be able to save people. So again, just look at yourselves. How are you with your relationship with God? I want to challenge everyone, myself definitely included, to do whatever it takes to get close to God. If it's just turning off the radio while you're driving to work and then just talking to God as you drive and just listening and try to listen to him. Oh, and that's another thing. Is so many Christians end up doing is that when they pray to God, they just spout out what they want to say and what they need, and then it's over. That's it. And then you walk away and you do whatever else you want to do. But when you talk to someone, usually in a conversation, when you talk to someone, you say something, and then you listen for their reply. And then you hear what they have to say. When we pray, we need to be able to talk to God and then take time to listen. Just to listen, to get in his word, figure out what he's telling us, what we need to do. Not just telling him what we want. So again, I challenge everyone, and again, myself most definitely, just do whatever it takes to get close to God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And that's so true. He is unconditionally, unpartially, always trying to get close to you. Closer, as close as he can. So much that he sent his son to die for you, so you could be with him forever. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants to be in this relationship with you. And we can't take that for granted. We need to get close to him as possible. If there's anyone here today who wants to start this relationship with God, please come forward as we stand and sing.